gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. It is written, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. It is written, he is not here, for he is risen, even as he said. It is written, marvel not at this. The hour cometh when all the dead shall hear his voice and shall come forth.
For God is just a prayer away.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
God is just a prayer.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Resurrections of the New Testament. Luke chapter 7 records the first resurrection of the New Testament. When Jesus and his disciples drew near to the city of Nain, and there was carried out one that was dead, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. The Lord had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. He touched the casket, the bearer stood still, and Jesus said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak. What happened that day at the gate of the city of Nain is only a foretaste of that meeting we will have as we enter in through the gate into the city that John speaks of in Revelation 22. Blessed are they that wash their robes, for they have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city. The young man sat up and began to speak. Shall not we, who have been raised from the waters of baptism to walk in the newness of life, also begin to speak? Speak a word of praise. Speak a word of prayer. Speak in the preaching of the word. Speak in the teaching of a lesson. By all means, if you are a Christian and raised up, say something for Jesus. Speak. We might wonder what great things this young man did with his life after this. Did he become another Timothy, a Barnabas, or a Silas? nothing is mentioned, except the reason for his resurrection. Jesus gave him to his mother. His ministry was taking care of his mother. Sometimes our ministry in life is the performing of some humble task that the world never sees, but God sees and God knows. The second resurrection of the New Testament is the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. His little daughter was sick at the point of death, and Jairus requested Jesus to come into his house. Many people who may have no interest in the Lord at all at other times want Jesus to come into the house at a time of sickness, because they're not sure the doctor is adequate for the occasion, and they want Jesus in the house. Church bulletins are filled with names of the sick who want Jesus in the house. Oh Lord, if you will only come into the house. I heard of a very irreligious family one time where a snake had bitten Junior. The family straightway called for the preacher to come and pray for Junior. They wanted Jesus in the house. The preacher arrived on the scene and saw Sister reading the Bible with great interest. Mama was singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Junior's brother was flat on his face in prayer. And when the preacher saw the great spiritual improvement, he began to pray fervently, "Oh Lord, please get the biggest, meanest rattlesnake you can find and send him around to bite the old man." They wanted Jesus in the house. When Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the hired mourners and the crowd making a tumult. Jesus said, "Give place, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." But they laughed him to scorn. As far as Jesus is concerned, all the dead are only asleep. In Daniel 12, the prophet said, "Many that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt." Remember, too, Paul instructs us when the Lord returns, he will bring them that sleep in Jesus with him. Then Jesus went into the room, took her by the hand, and raised her up, and she arose and walked. The young man at Nain sat up and talked. The little girl rose up and walked. He talked, she walked. Is it not true of the person who has been buried with Christ in baptism, when raised up from the watery grave, should he not begin to talk as well as walk? In the newness of life, in both cases, they were both raised from the dead to die again. But our resurrection from the watery grave, being dead to sin, is to live eternally. There's also a spiritual lesson to be learned here when Mark tells us the first command the Lord gave to the parents: give her something to eat. That's good advice. For those who are raised up from the waters of baptism, give them something to eat. Give them the bread of life, the word of God. Give them the Lord's Supper on the Lord's day. Give them something to eat. On the day of resurrection, the Lord shall give us something to eat. We shall eat of the tree of life that flows by the throne of God in the midst of the paradise of God. Another resurrection is a resurrection of Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, who was sick. The sister sent unto Jesus with the news, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." Although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he waited 2 days before going to Bethany because he said, "This is for the glory of God." After 2 days, he announced, "We must go and wake Lazarus out of sleep," referring again to death asleep. They knew this would mean death for Jesus to go there, Thomas said, "Well, let us go that we may die with him." As far as Thomas was concerned, if Jesus went into certain death, they all might as well die, for life without Jesus was not worth living. Thomas was right, because it is better to die than live in a world where there is no Christ and no hope. Paul reminds us in 2 Philippians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus commanded to roll away the stone. We might wonder why roll away the stone. If he raises the dead, the stone will be no problem anyway. Actually, the Lord does not do anything for us that we can do for ourselves. When he changed the water into wine, he did not do it until they had filled the pots with water. When he raised Lazarus, they had first to roll away the stone. The lesson is clear for us. Do what we can do first. See the doctor, take the pills, take the shots, get the operation, get the brain scan. Do all you can do first, and then the Lord may do what only he can do. If we expect the Lord to do what he alone can do, we ought to do every day what we can do and what we ought to do and some never do. They took away the stone, and Jesus said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." It is not right for a person to be raised from the dead and continue to walk around dressed like a corpse. I baptized a man one time, and when he came up out of the water and got dressed, he reached into his pocket and said, "Here, I want to give you something." He handed me what appeared to be a fancy cigarette case. He said, "I won't need this anymore." You see, he was taking off his grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. And now the resurrection of Dorcas. In Acts chapter 9, there was at Joppa a certain woman named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She fell sick and died, and since Peter was only a short distance away, they sent for him, and he came. When he came, they brought him into the upper room where the body lay, and the saints and widows were weeping, standing by, showing the garments Dorcas had made for them while she lived. Peter entered into the upper chamber where the body lay. After hearing of her many good works, Peter put them all out of the room, kneeled down, prayed, and said to the body, "Dorcas, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, presented her alive. You see, there were saints in the church at Joppa. He called the saints. All the members of the church in the New Testament were saints. Evidently, from the biblical viewpoint, you are a saint before you die. You don't have to die to become a saint. The word saint is used 41 times in the New Testament, and the same Greek word is used every time. That 41st time saints are mentioned is in regards to the feet of the saints. So you see, a Christian is a saint from head to toe before he dies. Here is a sampling of a few of them. 1 Corinthians 14:33. The phrase is used, "all the churches of the saints." Romans 1:7. Paul greets the church at Rome, "beloved of God, called to be saints." Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ that are at Philippi. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. 2 Corinthians 13:13. All the saints salute you. Now we need to take note also that the widows were showing the coats and garments Dorcas had made. We can only imagine what a coat made by Dorcas found by the archaeologists would be worth today, if one could be found. If someone would tell me, I like that coat you're wearing today. What is the name of the tailor? I might say, oh, I don't know. I paid $5 for this coat in a garage sale. They might say, let me see that coat. They look inside, take one look at the label, and exclaim, holy cow! You've got a Dorcas! I'll give you $1 million for it! No, thank you. I'll just wear it myself. And now the resurrection of Eutychus in the city of Troas in Acts 20. The place where the Apostle Paul and his company attended a church service on Sunday, the church had met for two very important reasons. They were gathered together for the obvious reason to celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. For 2,000 years, millions have assembled every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. They were also gathered together to celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. It is evident from both Scripture and historically that the church assembled every Sunday for the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day go together inseparably. Why celebrate the resurrection on the Lord's Day and leave off the Lord's Supper that celebrates his death? Or how can you celebrate the Lord's Supper on Sunday and not celebrate the resurrection? The Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day are locked together. Some, of course, celebrate the Lord's Supper once a month today so that it might not become too commonplace. And many celebrate the resurrection once a month so that it may not become too commonplace. Then there are many that celebrate both the Lord's Supper and the Lord's resurrection, thinking they're too commonplace every Sunday, and they wind up celebrating both two times a year, on Christmas and Easter. Eutychus, a young man, had gone up three stories high and went to sleep, and fell out the third story and was taken up dead, killed by the fall. Paul went down and, falling upon him, said, make ye no ado, for his life is in him, and raised him from the dead. Now here is the resurrection of our blessed Lord. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sets the resurrection of Jesus apart from all other resurrections of the Bible. He refers to the resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits of them that are asleep. All the other resurrections were temporary. Jesus is the first to be resurrected, never to die again. Go to the tomb of Nain and cry out, young man, where art thou? And the grave would yield no answer. Go to the cemetery at Capernaum and cry out to the daughter of Jairus, where art thou? And the grave would yield no answer. Go to Bethany to the tomb of Lazarus and cry, Lazarus, where art thou? And the grave would yield no answer. Go to Joppa, go to Troas, and again the grave is silent. Now go to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and cry out, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, where art thou? and the answer would come from the right hand of the Father in heaven. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Jesus, because of his resurrection, has the key to unlock the spirit world and the key to unlock every casket on the resurrection day. Mark tells us the angel that appeared at the tomb was a young man, not middle-aged or an old man, even though this young man was thousands of years old. He had been present on that day when God created the earth, and the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. The resurrection of Jesus is the story of the Christian being young forever. The empty tomb of Jesus is the fountain of youth. I have heard of a land on that faraway strand, the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die, in a land where we'll never grow old. And now that brings us to the last resurrection of the New Testament, the final resurrection. Jesus himself said in John 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All will hear his voice and come forth, all at the same time. To some it will be to eternal life, and to others to eternal damnation. All includes everyone. On airplanes, there are different classifications. You may travel first class, or second class, or business class. But if the engine conks out and the plane crashes, there are only two classes left: the dead class and the first class. The first class in a plane crash are the Christians. All that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Both classes, saint and sinner. Remember, Jesus said, this is no marvel. All that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Someone, I don't know who it was, wrote these appropriate lines regarding the resurrection at the last day, the day of judgment, when the great business plants of our city have turned out their last finished work, and the merchants have made their last order and dismissed every last tired clerk, when the banks have raked in their last dollar and declared their last dividend, and the judge of the earth says close for the night and asks for the balance, what then? When the TV has played its last drama and the comic has made his last pun, when the movie has flashed its last picture and the billboard has made its last run, when the people seeking pleasure have vanished and gone out in the darkness again, and the trumpet of ages has sounded and we stand up before him, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has prayed his last prayer and the people have heard their last sermon and the songs have died on the air, when the Bible lies closed on the pulpit and the pews are all empty of men, and the trumpet of ages has sounded and we stand up before him, what then?" Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget. Tell someone somehow and in some way that God is just prayer away.